Hi, everybody. Good morning. Thanks for coming out on a sort of gray morning, and welcome to all of those who are online. Is this streaming or online? Yeah. Okay. It's great to be here. I actually just got off a plane late last night, having been in the Sahel for the last 10 days, where we're working hard to apply a lot of the lessons of the Horn in what we see as a rising crisis in the Sahel. And my trip actually started with a meeting in Rome that I think was really rather unprecedented and underscores what I think is the really changing conversation and changing way that we approach this chronic crisis challenge. And in Rome, there was a meeting on the margins of the World Food Program board meeting with the heads of most of the UN agencies, both UNDP, WFP, FAO, IFAD was there, USAID, EU, and all of us collectively pledged that we would take early action now in response to the early warning indicators that we were seeing in the Sahel, and link our emergency response with longer-term development and do so in a way that built resilience. This is the playbook that came out, I think, of the Horn, and the magnitude of the crisis in the Horn, I think, really helped to focus what we all know is what we want to do and what we need to do and what a lot of people listening in and in this room have been striving to do for a very long time. And what is very powerful, I think, about what is happening now and the opportunity that the resilience approach gives us is that it gets us past that continued vocabulary of relief to development, closing the gap, is it a continuum? Because we know that, as Zach said in the intro, that we are not going to stop these droughts. And in both the Horn and in the Sahel, what we're seeing is what used to be a 10-year cycle, then a 5-year cycle, now it's really every other year. And what, as a result, these vulnerable populations, mainly pastoralists and rain-fed small agro-pastoralists, absolutely cannot recover from cycle to cycle of drought, and they keep tipping over into what is, you know, already a very vulnerable place, but into serious crisis. And we mobilize. We mobilize because that's what we do as Americans, as global citizens. And the world did an amazing mobilization in the Horn of Africa, and I think we can and should be proud of what everyone did in terms of enabling those communities, especially those in Somalia who were actually in famine, which is something we really don't get to very often, pull back. And it's not over by any means. It's still very fragile. But we have seen that it made a difference. What we also did, and we really built on a lot of the work that had started after the food price hike crisis of 2008, is we had put in programs that were emergency in nature, but the way they were designed, they built resilience. They were, and many of you were a part of that, and you know this very well, it was helping livestock to be healthier. It was improving the pasture lands and the grazing practices. It was creating alternative livelihoods, especially for women. It was creating irrigated dry season crops so that they could survive the poor seasons. And all of those programs we were able to layer on and extend and do more, along with what we're doing with our food aid programs, which is, I think, a true transformation of our Food for Peace office. We've moved into far greater flexibility on the kinds of approaches that we use, with an increased emphasis on cash and vouchers, local and regional purchase, so that we're able to be sensitive to the markets. And very importantly, we're reformulating our commodities after a 2-year effort, which many of you were involved with, and Tufts University really led the thinking of that. We've reformulated for more nutritious products that can really be targeted at those first 1,000 days, when it's so important that young babies get the kind of nutrition that can help their brains develop. So in the Horn of Africa, over the last 8 months, I think all of us have been very engaged in trying to ensure that we put in the kind of humanitarian response that is flexible, that has a lighter footprint than what sometimes happens in emergencies, and that builds resilience even as we meet urgent needs. At AID, we went one step further and we developed something called joint planning groups, because we know that time after time we mobilize for an emergency response and then those efforts end, and there's a long gap before the development side kicks back in. And so the challenge is to knit those together. And with our joint planning groups in Ethiopia and Kenya, the mission sat together with our humanitarian colleagues from Food for Peace and Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance and planned starting last summer and said, okay, we want to start laying on these kinds of programs, looking at ways to either sequence, to integrate, or to layer what we do in the emergency response with how we can connect up with the longer term, so that we really create resilience from all sides of our programs and enable communities to not continue to be at such a vulnerable point of crisis that they're tipped over every time that we have these inevitable shocks. We are in the process of moving forward with those plans. We are also looking at, so what really works? What is the evidence for these strategies being successful? And again, I want to thank those of you who participated in the workshop that we held on December 13th on beginning to gather the evidence for successful strategies to build resilience, and also to move us towards a common framework of understanding what does the word mean and what's in that frame when we talk about resilience. We are looking to have the results of that conversation, that two-day workshop, towards the end of March, and look forward to talking with you all again at that point. Most importantly, we're looking at an event at the end of March, March 28th to 29th, that Greg will talk more about, on resilience and growth, and working, as we pledged to do in Rome just a week ago in the Sahel context. In the March event is to enable us to work across the relief to development divide and have coherence among all the donors and do so in a way that is aligned with country plans. So these are efforts that many of us have all talked about. I think the gravity of the crisis of the Horn, followed now by a rising crisis in Sahel, is a very focusing moment. And the kinds of different approaches that we're seeking to do at USAID and do so in partnership with you and the other donors, I think give us an extraordinary opportunity to truly move this into the next stage.